it's not Amirik to do that. How do you do such a thing? The answer is, when there's a machlokes between the halacha and proven medicine, you follow medicine, of course. That's the halacha. Halacha says so, not the medicine says so. Call it Mishtana Teva, Mishtana Yediyas Teva, but that's a fact. Okay? If you want to see a little, just it's interesting, and on his lotion, I scribble down, you have Rav Herzog, page 97. Chose to include that only because of it's the definitive Lushonos there. And that is now become a point of honor not to listen to the doctors. I have underlined for you on page 97. But they said before that the halacha says, so people say, never said it, that I showed you. The Gemara lists the steps of Mila only as Mila Priya. Mitzitza is the Shubh Rafur. Since Shubh Rafur, they felt, and you read, I included in here what everybody has said, except for the Avni Nezer, who says it honestly. Avni Nezer, here too, it's in your handout, who says, yes, it's true that Mitzitza Bepeh is only Mishum Sakona. However, there are other inyonim involved, Kabbalah inyonim, etc., etc. Fine. Once you enter that area, there's no conflict between medicine and halacha. Medicine, halacha, they make peace with each other. Then Kabbalah comes in and insists it should be done doctor that way. I think if the Avnei Nezer knew what we know now about the herpes and AIDS transmission and so on, that surely he would not have written what he wrote. You can't say that. I mean, I would like to think that, but I've been fooled on that Indian. If you look in the I'm sorry, let me start from my beginning. I want to make a comment on page 132, the decrease in meal observance. I made reference to it in passing last week, that Baruch Hashem, AIDS came to our help. AIDS came to our aid. And suddenly, the skeptics about Mila suddenly became frum, and they're also now moving up. But look at those statistics there. And those statistics come from a Jewish neighborhood, not from Wyoming. They come from Mount Sinai Hospital. That's only some 60-odd% for making Mila over the last few years. 60% of those who list themselves as Jewish. It says something to Rabbonim and Moalim that we're fighting a little bit of a battle in which we have to make sure that we present ourselves in the best light. How a Moal behaves, how a Rav behaves, the kind of ritual that we allow for. It has to have enough kedusha in it and enough sensitivity to the modern mind who worries about hygiene, etc., etc. I'm not sure that I can sterilize an instrument by dipping it into some sterilizing solution. But I've been at Brisson where people ask me right away, look, he doesn't sterilize his instruments. Why? They were the previous Bris where the moil had a wrapped up package, he opened it up, right? And there was a cloth there. It was clearly came from a hospital autoclave, from a real sterilizer. I'm quite sure that dipping it in the Zephyrin 1 to 1000 solution most likely does as good a job for that purpose. But I wouldn't allow a moil to be a moil unless he presents his instruments that are sterilized. He opens up a sterile field by opening up the wrapping and so on and so forth. For only one reason, to impress the people. We're fighting a battle. They shouldn't have any talents on us. And that's critical. You people call that practical rabbinics, right? I call it defensive mitzvah smila, which is under serious attack. And in Eretz Yisrael, more than any place else. Eretz Yisrael, the in-group, those who chozlin b'sheila, not chozlin b'tshuva, they are not doing mila, period. It's a kind of point of pride that they're modern. They don't go for the old stuff. So thank God the AIDS come in to our help, and most likely the statistics will move up because of the evidence that circumcision reduces the incidence of AIDS by more than 50%. Want to ask something?
I'm amazed that Rebbe can say thank God for AIDS.
Said what?
I'm amazed that you can say that you are appreciative of AIDS, which has killed millions
I never,
of people.
I don't know who said that. I didn't say that.
Perhaps I misheard.
That AIDS came to our defense. Yes, it did. What could you do? Yeah.
I'm not sure if we applied the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yeah. Okay, next. One of the tshuvas of Hegdus Moshe, he mentions nothing, no chidush, that to cause pain to someone unnecessarily is an isur d'oraisa. Makes reference to it and the use of the gamko clamp, which causes more pains. It's also for that reason, not only the reason about it could be bloodless, it could be without dam, which he doubts in the tshuva. He says he doesn't see how it could be without dam. I can tell you, I've seen it many times, it's without dam. What they do, as I mentioned to you, I showed you the gamko clamp, they can slip it on without any cutting, and then there's no dam whatsoever. Sometimes they have to make a little slit in order to slip it in. I doubt whether that little slit would be called damila. Yeah. It's a big topic whether that's called damila. The purpose was not to remove the olah, but to slip the machine. Whether that's adequate to be tying the mitzvah of bris or damila is a little topic in my mind. Nevertheless, it could be without the only tiny head in the tube is, but it causes increased pain for the baby. And that's also. Then comes the next obvious thing, then a moil should be using a local anesthetic. There's no excuse not to. Oh, a Walt said, I made reference to it as in passing a few minutes ago, in the question of modern science, modern medicine, as it interfaces with halacha, you have the Sri Deish, who was a great posik, and a so-called modern man of the world. He had university degrees, he's very knowledgeable of medicine, etc. So if you just turn to page 136, you see a strange decision that he made, a kind of balkocho yana omein, reluctantly, to allow to use a local anesthetic. Should be aware of it, because right now the triumphalism of the Hasidic community makes it that practically no male uses a local anesthetic. I mentioned to you that it's useful to give the baby a little sugar water. One or two more of them do that, they don't bother with that either. If you look at page 136, there we have a reference to, in the article that I wrote there, so I marked it for you, that paragraph. The question was posed years ago to CDH, of Achille Weinberg of Zurich, Switzerland. Right. He most reluctantly conceded that Misha Rotze Lahokel Yeshua Misha Yisbuch, but would prefer that the analgesic cream not be used. And his reluctance is based on an Imre Yosher. Look, Imre Yosher based on a Medrash Rabbah, which some is worthy to comment. Midrashim, remember, wherever the halacha doesn't oppose it, Medrash Rabbah can be used as a source of halacha. So you look in, I make that reference to you. Look at page 29. The CDH was a highly respected posek, and he's willing to base himself on a potential Isur D'oraisa to cause tzar. It's Isur Lo Yosef Lakoso. It's an Isur D'oraisa to cause pain to somebody, big or small. And I have there also marked, I put the mark on the side there, right? That what? Etzam yom hazinim avrom, omar ababa bakahana, hirgish v'nitzayr, deshe yichpo lo ha-kodesh boruch hu schoro. All the mefarshim understand that. Avrom could have used some other method to reduce his pain, but he didn't do so, so he had more schar. That's the basis for causing pain to the baby. Hard to understand that as a moko for that kind of upsat. Nevertheless, you see, you're dealing with an area of ritual, area in which halacha interfaces with Kabbalah, at the same time that interfaces with medicine. And it's willing to pass it that way. To anyone reading, it doesn't seem to be a proper association, a moko in the medrash. Therefore, because even if it were true that a person has a right to take more tzar to get more schar, abulfums tzar or agro, it's hard to apply that to a 8-day-old baby. Okay, next. Page 2-6. Here you have one of your halacha lemaise shailas that every rov will be faced with. Let me pose it to you in pediatric terms. A baby sometimes presents a question. And the question of his well-being is posed to the pediatrician. And because of that, the pediatrician decides to put the baby under blue lights. I'm sure you've all heard about it. The blue lights allow for the bilirubin to be solubilized and go out in the urine faster. The baby's on blue lights from day 5 to day 7. When do you make the bris? Now I have to get to go from day 7. I got to go to day 14. You have to wait 7 days after the baby is well. Or not so. Blue lights, yeah, baby. So you want the blue lights. No big deal. The baby is 4 pounds, 14 ounces. Pretty well accepted rule, no one knows why, that a baby shouldn't be subjected to Mila unless it's 5 pounds. Well, in 2 or 3 days of nursing, he'll be 5 pounds. And then you wait 7 days in order to make the Mila. Otherwise, it's like a Mila Shlobismana. Mila Nachole doesn't work. Look at the Yodea.
Rebbe,
read it in a minute. Look at the Yodea. Zman Mila, the Bori, the Chola, the Androgynous. Chole, I'm page 3. Chole, Molinoso, Ache Yavri, Mamtinlo, Meish, and Esrapa, Mechol Yoshiva, Yomim, Eis, Leis. You can have those shailas all the time, right? Next condition. The baby, doctor didn't like how the baby was breathing. So he put him in an incubator and gave him some oxygen. What about that? Next, the baby, no one knows why exactly, but a pediatrician also works sometimes without raya bruro. He has black and white. His estimate is, I think this baby, I'd like to have him in the incubator. No oxygen, in the incubator. Incubator keeps him warm, keeps him there for 2 or 3 days, and takes him out. The mother nurses the baby while he's in the incubator. She takes him out, nurses him, puts him back in the incubator. What do you do about this mamila? Those are mamish daily shyness that everyone has. Right. So there's a very, very important tshuva on page 49. There's a mistake on Tina Kola. You have there page 80 for some reason. It's page 49. Yeah. Okay, I'd like to read that tshuva because it's a short tshuva and it says much to direct you how you respond to these omnipresent, most common situations that arise. V'akotan shemeisatcha chosolo hamishkol, mishkol haroyu, v'das harokum, omosh osol molo, mtsrichen lahamtin zayin yomim. Okay, you want to look at that a little bit yourself? And then the second half, or they put him in the incubator. I underlined both of them for you. And then the third case, on the last paragraph, blue babies. There is an inaccurate term. Those are not blue babies. What he refers to. He refers to babies, it's RH, an RH incompatibility, where the red blood cells are lysing, are breaking apart. We have to do an exchange transfusion on the baby. That's not a blue baby. A blue baby is a baby that requires surgery because the vessel that shunts the blood away from the lungs, the ductus arteriosus, that shunts the blood away from the lungs while the baby's in utero, and then it comes out that in the flow of Hashem, as the baby takes the first few breaths, that ductus collapses, and now the blood shunts to the lungs. Sometimes it doesn't shunt all the way. So the baby's not getting enough blood going to the lungs, so he's a blue baby. He looks blue, like a baby who is devoid of adequate oxygen. That's a hole that you don't play around with. That baby, you don't make mila until after surgery, and after that surgery is corrected. What he's referring to is similarly a serious thing where the husband and wife are RH incompatible, so that the baby is born with a lack of red blood cells and they keep on breaking, lysing. That baby requires an exchange transfusion. Literally pull out all the blood and put in blood from the bank. Right. That baby goes to Chola B'Sukkon, that baby likewise, no Shaila, that after the doctors give a clean bill of health, then you count 7 days, and then you make the mila. But the first case, where the baby was below weight, what you're dealing there with is not an illness, but a developmental lag. A developmental lag, and maybe due to nothing more than the mother fearful of being left with excess weight after the baby is born. Nowadays it's a very common thing. You see also a miracle. You see a little girl with a big belly. She gives birth and a week later she's in shul to bench goyim or something. And you can't tell whether she ever gave birth or not. Looks like before she got pregnant, they don't have any extra weight on them. But the baby suffers. The babies come out small. Therefore, nowadays the doctors recommend, I want you to gain a certain amount of weight. It used to be 40 pounds, now it's down to 25 pounds. A bigger baby is better chance at life. That baby comes in a little below weight, it's not a sick baby. But then, we have a chashasha, we don't want to subject a little baby, a rachmanas on him, it's bad enough to do it to a 10-pound baby, want to do it to a 5-pound baby. Yeah. So you have a rachmanas on him, you want to wait until it gets a little bit bigger. There is nothing in medicine that dictates that you can't do a mila on a 4-pound, 14-ounce baby. But so is Mukubal. And some kind of rules in the game. 5 pounds is a cutoff point, so that kind of a low fluke now, we don't leave it. That baby is not sick. What then? You don't want to do mila until he's a little stronger, color covered. So you wait till he hits 5 pounds, you do mila. So 2 days later, instead of the bris on the 8th day, you make the bris on the 10th day. You don't have to wait 7 days for that. It's a very important chuvah because it's a common occurrence. And it's a good rational pshat. Okay. You wanted to ask something?
So you're saying that if you do mila on a chola on the 8th day, then he's not yotze?
I know. It's clearly in your day, it's like mila koitim zmano. Not yotze, I mean, according to many, nina tofa zambris.
So if there's any suffix,
huh?
So if there's a machlokas about whether or not the baby is a chola or not, then there's a very, very big nafkamina.
Of course. Nafkamina in 7 days. Nafkamina with its a kosher bris. And what do you do nowadays? Many Bali Tshuva present themselves. They had mila on the 5th day, they had mila on the 4th day. The mila was done by the obstetrician, the Jewish obstetrician. Okay, that's. We might as well go to that point too. But what do you do, Tate? these are not, again, I'm just speaking my own experience. Hardly a year in the earlier years, hardly a year would go by without having a few such questions. The fellows about Tshuva, well, Tshuva movement was a little bit more active 20 years ago than it is today. But he thinks back, he never had a bris, a formal bris. He was circumcised in the hospital by the doctor. The doctor was Jewish. But a machal Shabbos b'varesia, like, what's Allah? You need a tafas da bris, not a tafas da bris. So there you have scribble down, where did I put it down here? Look it up on Mumma. Thank God for the outline. Okay, look at page 46. Michal Shabbos Shemol Tinuk. Okay, you all have it? Okay. On the second page, end of column one. B'ramuma l'chal Shabbat Faresia Shemol Tinuk Issa B'ramah, right? Shedinu Ka'akum. And the Ramah holds that Tzorach L'Hatov Dam Bris. Okay, of course, they may walk him out. Hatov is Dam Bris, they'll walk him out. So we have that, and again, not an uncommon situation. I had a few weeks ago interesting child. Seems that a moil who most likely had a few jobs that morning set the appointment for the bris to be at the quote early minyan, and the early minyan was before zricha. Mobile Isla also is not a kosher mila. Mila has to be dafke b'yom. Yom Hashmini Yimos Bazal also dafke b'yom. It wasn't Yom. Is Yom legabe mila alos hashachar or Yom mila legabe mila? Is it zricha? Shulchan already Machaba has it that b'di'evit alos hashachar works also. But if we're before Alos HaShachar, as would have been before we moved the clock there, then I've had such cases too already. In one, Moira was a lawyer also, I think. Always did the Miller early, and sometimes very early. I don't remember a case where it was before Alos HaShachar, but certainly very close to it. It's one of the things, but it's a b'di'evit. The chatchila, you have to make sure that the mila is at after Sricha. I gave you the case of the chola. I mentioned a number of common shayla, common occurrences. One of them was the blue lights. The blue lights present a complex shayla. No one is really sure that the blue lights are critically necessary. Very often it's put in just a kind of a chumro be'almo. to get rid of the bilirubin a little faster. When I'm involved, they ask me, I always argue with a pediatrician, are you sure you really want to do it? Is it really necessary? And that's for another reason. Because when the baby's under blue lights, he has to be blindfolded. I have my own concern, biological concern, whether to bereft the child of vision for critical days in the beginning of life, I can't imagine that that's a good idea. I have no proof otherwise, but certainly it doesn't seem to be a normal developmental behavior to blind a baby for 3, 4, 5 days sometimes. So you push him a little bit. When you push him, I find that usually, but you don't. You really don't want it. Okay, we don't do without it. If the doctor felt he wanted it, you can't push him. Right? So blue lights always present a special problem, whether you should call him a cholo or not. Ein brera, but you can't help. But say it's important. Put him up to push the doctor a little bit. See whether he'll back off. If he doesn't back off, then you have to call him a cholo, and you have no choice. And you follow that logic. This is realism. That's how it goes.
The baby's not a chola. Let's say it's a case where they're just waiting for the baby to gain weight, to become 5 pounds. So is there any side? I know some people sometimes after the baby gains the weight, so they want to wait until a Sunday.
That's not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, but it's thank you. I think I have it in my notes over here to call your attention. Yeah, the famous Sunday Blitz. Okay. First of all, you people should know the state of the economy today. A Sunday Blitz is not a good idea. Sunday Blitz, everybody comes. Right. It's far more expensive than a Tuesday Blitz. Okay. But the Sunday Blitz is in. If the Moel says, the doctor, I checked with the doctor, we could do the bris Friday morning. Well, maybe we can wait for Sunday already. Sunday, the uncles can come, et cetera. There's no such thing. The moment the baby is royal Mila, then you are matcher of a chiv Mila. There's no Issa Kores. As long as they get the Mila done sooner or later, you avoid Issa Kores. But there is certainly, we see what we do with Mila, by Ashkem Abon Baboker. We're makpid to make Mila Dafke early in the day, even though it's not that convenient. It'd be nicer on a day like today, it'd be nicer to make the Mila at 7 o'clock in the afternoon, where people can come after work and so on. Yet no one's done that. We make Mila Baboker, special Zrizen Magdim in the mitzvahs, especially by Mitzvahs Mila, therefore there's no excuse to delay it. As long as you delay it, it's Mila Shobizman anyway, you might as well delay another 2 days. It's an anti-halachic attitude. The halacha demands that Mila be done as soon as it can be done. Yeah?
Does it be possible like Bar Avram, that it has to be Mamash Miyad? Or
I'm not hearing you, you have to talk a little louder.
Bar Avram. The Bar Avraham says you have to do it right away.
Do what? Do it right away.
Does Rebbe think that it has to be right away? You shouldn't wait for anybody, or you can wait till the next morning?
What do you call right away?
As soon as the doctor clears, 5 o'clock, right then.
Oh, you mean it can be done 9 o'clock, or he calls you, as it happened, the baby was checked by the doctor. The doctor didn't make an appointment, or he didn't give an appointment until 11 o'clock in the morning or 12 o'clock, so the doctor said, Baruch Hashem, everything is fine. So what are you supposed to do? Right? Take off the diaper and do it right away. You can wait till the end of the day too. There's no such halacha out of the special chumrah by Yashkim, my boker. But once it's not boker anymore, you can wait for 7 o'clock also.
How
Yes. Hold on 1 second. Watching the clock too. Want to get? I want to reserve the next 4 times we meet for Galus. Not an even division of Mila and Galus. Galus needs a little bit more attention. Okay. Now, 1 second. This should happen. A comment on Sunday course. Okay. Page 19. Someone to ask something. I'm sorry.
How about if what you want to wait till that's the father? Mila is bigger.
And make Mila after day 8? Mila Shlobizmana?
No, it was already pushed off.
Huh?
It was already pushed off because the baby was sick.
Yeah.
Or the baby was.
There were chubas on that because it's his mitzvah Mila. Some want to be matir. If it's Mila Shlobizmana, to wait for a father because the chi of Mila is on the father. Anyone else is only substituting for him. Therefore, that's looked upon as delaying the Mila for that. I don't know halacha l'maisa what the consensus is, but both are mentioned in halacha. Look at page 19. I think I might mention it in Shir. There's Rav Paul in there. I meant to give you a handout. I put it in my book, but I didn't give you you people ever see the Shal Shuas Rav Paulin? That's Ben Yishchai. Very, very special style. Very complete. Tremendous Baal Masvir in the Shuvah. Very useful. Useful childish Shuvah when you get. So he has the Shaila in the Rav Paulin Chelik Beis Yeredeya. It's a 4-volume work, the Rav Paulin. Shaila Lamed Hey, you don't have it, I'm sorry. It's listed here as 18B, 18C. Yours is 18, is 18A. But I'll give it to you. You'll give it to them too. I only have here the first. It's 4 or 5 daplim. He's a great Baal Masbir and allows himself sometimes to expand the tshuva, kind of stream of consciousness takes you all over. Here I just have the shayla and the tshuva here. The shayla was. Intriguing shayla. Where do I have the first 19? Okay, let me just make sure. Yeah. But I'm sorry. Take page 19 first that you have, just to attune you to the inyan. Okay. Nogian Asus Yuralat, Nozan Asus Kisi Ledio, Shnika Malachabris, right? Shemanicho Yoma Befiv, the moral says, right? Zer Kis Jeru Arovid. And Vinogin Lahade Rachamisuzu Leo Sandik, Litvo Satinik Lemolo. The Yofe Koach Hasandik, Mikoach Hamoil, Lagdimo Likros Betoro. The whole Sandik have a kemaktik Torahs. People don't understand that. I've been at Blissen where they give the Sandik to a fellow with a little suffix where he's Shema Shabbos. He's a good friend, an uncle or something. Sandikos is a very important participant in this critical mitzvah of Lachnis Bebrisu Shavavom Avinu. Nogin Sholitin Shnei Yelodin Lebal Bris Echad, Why? Because since it's Haktoras Ketoras, it's like giving and by Ketoras, Chadoshim the Ketoras bowl. Make sure that you went ahead and spread the mitzvah evenly among the Kohanim, because it's a great mitzvah. What's the great mitzvah? In the minds of people, the whole great mitzvah is because it guarantees Ashirus. So look at the Bir Hagor, the last line. Right? You don't give two sandakos to the same fellow. Gor of Elam Shachar. Gor, you see, was a psanoid over here. Right? In Cain, my timer. He says, you don't give two of your children to the same sandik. My Shver Zatzal was sandik by every one of his grandchildren, great grandchildren. Yeah. Based upon the score. That's nonsense. You give sandikos to someone, you want to be machabedim with a great mitzvah, so you give. Five different people like this fellow want to give him the mitzvah, of course, no problem. Each child wanted him to be the tzaddik, he's the grandfather, so he's the tzaddik all the time. But therefore, this is nonsense. Right? What does it mean? You don't give it twice to the same fellow? It's not nonsense. Lolam lo, right? The ain't no tzaddik. The significance of it. But the Ben Yishchai
You said about not giving to Machal Shabbat. Does that mean Bali Tshuva should not be in front of the grandparents and great grandparents?
What's going on with Bali Tshuva?
Well,
Bal Tshuva,
so his parents aren't Shomer
Shabbos. Bal Tshuva is not Machal Shabbos.
Okay, Bal Tshuva is a baby.
Yeah.
His parents aren't Shomer Shabbos, but he wants to give his father Sandakaros. You said...
Well, also, of course not. They asked me, I would not let him, of course.
You wouldn't let him?
I wouldn't let him. I can't lock him up. You certainly would tell him that, no, it depends how you say it. That's where your practical rabbinics comes in. Right. When you tell him that since you're a big Arnav, you think you should be Sandik. Arnav a fool, some should be Sandik. Okay. I don't know what you're asking.
Okay.
You announce, you know that's a reality in our life. Sometimes you have a father that was a Machal Shabbos, not was a Machal Shabbos, is a Machal Shabbos. Yeah. So therefore what? You shouldn't be Sandik, of course not. If they meet with you before the bris, they ask you how to, as you should meet. I don't want to get involved with the practical rabbinics again, but that's how you should. You certainly meet with the family before Chmanel's son, before Levaya, and before Migla, and before Chasana, and you have your input. And certainly you tell them that no Sandikos is reserved for Talmid Chacham or Shema Mitzvahs. I'm sure the son knows that the father Machal Shabbos, and he's about to truly understands. It shouldn't be any difficult to make that understood. No, it shouldn't be any problem. Listen to this nice shayla. There's a fellow who's a moil in town. That's J. Lamed Hay. And he's always a moil in town. He's a moil in town. His wife gives birth to a boy. He's the moel, of course, and he's a father. The mitzvah is to make milah. But he wants to be a sandik. He was never a sandik in his life. So he wants to invite a friend of his from another town to come and do the milah. He should be able to be the sandik. But he poses the shayla. He knows the aloche, mitzvah bo, yosem b'shulchu. He calls the other fellow and he says, shliach, but it's better to do the mitzvah yourself. Is he allowed to or not? So this Rav Polem really takes you on a tour de force through Shas. Finally comes up with a raya. You see what a fine mind. He says, I have a raya from Bdikas Chometz. Trulnov says, by Bdikas Chometz, there, the father can make the brocha, and then the family scatters over the rooms, and they each a yotzi with the first brocha. They don't make another brocha. He's motzi everyone with the brocha. So our poem asks, but mitzvah bo yosef b'shulchan. How does the father allow his sons, daughters to go and be bodik? The chiva is on him. He's the bala bayis. The chiva should do it. What's the answer? And since he's also bodik, he didn't give up the whole mitzvah. He kept a little bit for himself, kept a room for himself also. When you also participate in the mitzvah, there's no halacha of mitzvah bo yosef b'shulchan. Therefore he says, since the tzaddik holds the baby, and without the tzaddik, the meal can't be done. Therefore, the tzaddik is also the mitzvah. Therefore, it's mutter for him to become the tzaddik and have someone else do the meal if he really wants to be a tzaddik cause. Right? Possibly because he believes what it said, that's a guarantee for Ashirus. He also wants that.
Why can't the meal be done without the tzaddik?
My what?
Why can't the mila be done without the tzaddik? You can have the baby on a pillow on a bench.
Why can't you? What do you mean, why can't you?
I mean, I don't understand how the role of the tzaddik is intrinsic to the fulfillment of the mila.
Because the tzaddik holds the baby for the moil, therefore he participates in the mila.
But it's not necessary to have a tzaddik. I mean, you could have the baby on a pillow on a bench.
Not easily, no. No, you could have the baby like some of the Hasidim do on a frog board that we use for dissection in biology, right? And they tie him to a board, as you see. So they claim it's Akedas Yitzchok, but the real reason is that way they cut off some of the circulation and there's less bleeding. That's called, yes, Sid, the Sandik, Oche is a Satinok, and Messiah inhales him in the Bris, and he participates. Just like someone makes the Mila, someone makes the Priya, someone makes the Mitzitza, you can have to eat them all, and each one participates, the Sandik also participates. Okay? Look at page 3. The other day. Now, people, you have in here some really some very, very good review, halachas, good limud Torah from a number of them, that a number of the inclusions that are somewhat lengthy, like Zeicher Yitzchok, the Binyan Tzion, and then I included also what he called Schorberis, I don't remember what the title is, but the fairly lengthy one that covers many of the yonim that we're speaking about. Which one it is? Sefer Habrit. It's called Sefer Habrit, right? And Sefer Hilchos Mila. You'll get much benefit, some of it I've underlined for you especially, so that, but it's well organized also, Mila Priya, Mila Basachas, Mitzitza, etc. What was his name already? And it was a well-known moral who wrote it, worth.
Kuratinsky.
Huh?
Rabbi Kuratinsky.
Yeah. Worth looking at. look at, you know, they lay some base gimel. Androgynous, Mishi Esher Steolos, Yotze Dofen, Mimolon Uchmona. Okay. Androgynous, I think we know what they meant by androgynous. Yeshu Sheolos, I don't know what it means. Yotze Dofen, we know, we have a whole Perek in Sechas Nida named after that. Yotze Dofen, it's a Syrian section. Syrian section, remember, we don't make Mila B'Shabbos. But otherwise, it's no change in the Hilchas Mila for it. One reason I'm calling attention to it, androgynous doesn't happen so often, but we have a fairly high incident of ambiguous genitalia, as high as 1 in 400 births. Sometimes easily correctable, minor surgery, sometimes not. What do you do about Zohar the Keper? How do you judge Zachus Nakvus Api Aloche? Medically, I know. You take a piece of skin and you look under the microscope. If you see XX chromosomes, it's a female, XY is a male. Sometimes a frontal son, you look under the microscope, you get XXXY. That's a real androgynous. That's a true androgynous. Most of the others are make-believe androgynous. They look like androgynous, but they're really not, and you could correct. Sometimes it's due to androgenital syndrome. That I mean, the adrenal glands produces male sex hormone. If it's a genetic female, and the adrenal glands poured out male sex hormone during the gestation, the child will be born with a penis, looks like a male, but will be functionally a female, meaning with minor corrections, this baby could be brought up as a female and could bear children, etc., etc. But that's not so uncommon as you might imagine. Those are easy ones. The more difficult ones are where, indeed, the genitalia are really messed up. You can't do anything surgically to make them into a zocho. But genetically, on the cable, right? That's easy. Yeah, cable, you fine. Cable, you don't have to add anything. You take away. Good. What if the reverse? Genetically, a zocho. But the genitalia are not there. The penis didn't develop, etc., etc. So the standard practice in America today, the psychiatrist took over, and they all paskin that you should make him into a female. That a female, he could be function sexually as a female, even though, of course, never be able to give birth. He's a male, doesn't have ovaries. That poses a very special shaila. Psychiatrically, they tie it so, and there's a text was written, a beautiful text was written, what I am, and the title, I am a boy. Written by someone who went through this for 20 years, made him into a female, and he tied it that you really can't do it. That genetically, there's a maleness that comes through anyway. But that's not significant for our discussion. Al pi halacha, it's obviously, he's a man, he's a chayav mitzvos, as a man is put on tefillin, right? He can't make mila, okay, but he's a male anyway. Is that so? Or do you judge maleness, femaleness on the basis of genitalia? On morphology, not on genetics. So, So it happens that our family is now in the process of publishing Ninth Chelik of Igus Moshe. He found a whole bunch of tshuvas marked Muchan L'Dfus that never got around to giving it into print. And it's been done by a team of three Mira boys in Eretz Yisrael who are typing out the, still handwritten there. So happens that I found there only beginning of the week the people in Eretz Yisrael email me as they finish 10 shuvas, they email it to me. So there's a very, very important shuva, that short one. It says Surely b'shlichus eizem oel odos tinokos shenoldo shelefi mares gufo b'bachutz nires kemin zocho. That's the Andrew Gentle syndrome. Why? Penis went to, we had a case here in Yeshiva where the boy went to Mila, etc., then turned out that he was a female. I was teaching in the high school days. Ach b'bdikas genitios, right? Nira Shini Keva, the Gambit Finim, the Bdika Silumi Rantgen X-ray, Nira Shini Keva, the Rofim Toanim, Shimyasaloni Turh Mibachutz, Gamitunlo Eze Trufa, then Tigodel in the Keva Regila Shahuya Lelit. Zivadai Nochon, Shishdismo Halarofim Amumchim, right, and the Russian is very important. Shekach Moidin, Vein Lomul Hatinuk, as people were claiming. There's an organ that looks like a male organ that should make me. Vein Onechshav Kandrogenes. Androgenes who mimic Neasmo. Bez Hashem Mizboha, Tigod Latinokas Azu, Bibrius, Elenachas Kolamishboha, Yisrael. What's important here is the decision that we'll trust the genetic identification as a determination of maleness and femaleness. I would have loved to see this tshuva when the Shreya was alive, maybe to push a little more to see to what extent he would support a medical opinion against what is right now most of the other poskim in Eretz Yisrael there would not agree to this, but would go with overt morphology. Looks like a male, it's a male. But as I say, it's to what extent genetic information is the final determinant still has to be discussed a little more. Okay, that's essentially. We have to stop now. We also have to go to some kind of a something in 5:35. The COVID. Someone who's an expert on Arcadian. I'm trying to find out what Arcadian is before I go there. So, yeah.
So if the child is genetically male but physically female, so Moshe would say that we go according to genetics,
right,
even though the doctors would say we go according to the physical signs.
Yeah, no, the overt physical signs. We have also X-ray, which has to be included as overt signs. The X-ray can see inside, the X-ray saw two ovaries, right? Not two testicles.
Okay.
Right. We have cases where the X-ray shows two testicles inside. Not too over, then you have a real problem. Yeah. And that also has a Rashi that's helpful in deciding that. Yeah. Okay, we'll stop here, Mr. Hashem. We'll switch off the Gaelus and Mr. Hashem next week.